Take your Bibles and turn to Jeremiah chapter 6. And we're going to read here once again about the old paths. And we're going to continue to talk about what makes up the old path. And what is it actually that we're talking about that we should follow after as God directed his people to do. So if you'll stand out of love and respect for the word of God, if you're physically able. Jeremiah chapter 6, we'll begin in verse 8 altogether out loud. We'll read the even verses out loud together, and I'll read the odd verses by myself out loud. And we'll go down through here through verse 19 in Jeremiah chapter 6, beginning together in verse 8. Be thou instructed, O Jerusalem, lest my soul depart from thee, lest I make thee desolate, a land not inhabited. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, they shall throughly glean the remnant of Israel, as a vine. Turn back thine hand as a grape gatherer into the baskets. To whom shall I speak and give warning, that they may hear? Behold, their ear is uncircumcised, and they cannot hearken. Behold, the word of the Lord is unto them a reproach, and they have no delight in it. Therefore, I am full of the fury of the Lord. I am weary with holding in. I will pour out upon the children abroad and upon the assembly of young men together. For even the husband with the wife shall be taken, the aged with him that is full of days. And their houses shall be turned unto others, with their fields and wives together. For I will stretch out my hand upon the inhabitants of the land, saith the Lord. For from the least of them, even unto the greatest of them, every one is given to covetousness. And from the prophet, even unto the priest, every one dealeth falsely. They have healed also the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. Were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? Nay, they were not at all ashamed, neither could they blush. Therefore they shall fall among them that fall. At the time that I visit them, they shall be cast down, saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways, and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. Also, I set watchmen over you, saying, hearken to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not hearken. Therefore hear, ye nations, and know, O congregation, what is among them. Hear, O earth, behold, I will bring evil upon this people, even the fruit of their thoughts, because they have not hearkened unto my words, nor to my law, but rejected it. As we continue to talk about the old paths, last week we talked about the old paths of the scriptures, the word of God, the thing that is to be the lamp unto our feet and the light unto our path. It is the only thing we know about God. So it is the way to follow. It is the way to find peace and rest for our souls. It is the way to find happiness and success is in and through the word of God. The word of God must be the final authority for all matters of faith and practice in our lives. Must. Has to be. And then secondly, what we believe about our God. What we believe about our God is an old path that we must follow. Can I tell you something today? Churches today believe all kinds of things about our God. And most of them are not true. You know, some people say that it's okay with God today what's going on in our society. No. No, it's not. God has not changed his mind about any sin. Any of them. And I'm not just talking about all the alphabet nonsense out there. I'm talking about every sin. You know, in some churches, it's okay to drink a little. It's okay to dabble in things a little bit. You know what I heard a preacher say one time? Oh, it's okay to look, just don't touch. What? Are you serious? Okay to look, but not...
Oh, it's just window shopping. It doesn't hurt. Where did you buy into that lie? No way. It's not okay of any of it. Oh, it's just a little white lie. It won't, huh? Don't you know our God? Don't you know what He required? Now, I'm not going to go back and re-preach all the messages that I preached about our God. We had a several-week series on the things that God requires of us. We've had several-week series on God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Oh, I'm not going to preach all those. I just want to remind you of the old past that our God is God. He does not change. He is who He is. He's still on the old paths, and we need to know what we believe about our God. You know, it's our job to be able to give an answer to people about the hope that is within us. How can you give someone an answer about something you know nothing about? Do you know our God? You say, sure I do. Well, do you know that God is a triune God? He exists eternally in three persons: Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Each co-eternal in being, co-identical in nature, co-equal in power and glory, and having the same attributes and perfections. The Bible tells us in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26, and by the way, I'd encourage you to go back and look through the book of Genesis, because before that point, it says that God did this, and God made this, and God said this, and God called this, and God said, and God created, and God said, and God set them, and God said, and all these things. God created, God saw the light, God said, you know, God blessed them, God created them, God made them, God saw that it was good. God. It says over and over, all in Genesis chapter 1 there, right? But then in verse 26, it says something slightly odd. It says, and God said, let us make man in our image. So it appears for the first part of it that this is something singular. You know, God, right? And then in verse 26, it says, and God said, let us make man in our image. Time out. This is not a translation error. This is a window into who our God is. There are religions today that are trying to refute a triune God. They will openly mock and say, we believe in a God that doesn't need any help. We believe in one God. We believe in a God that doesn't need a Son and a Holy Spirit. Why does your God need help? Why does your God need to be three parts? Why does your God need a Son to manifest Himself on this earth and a Holy Spirit to dwell on the earth after the Son has went back to... But our God is just one strong, big, bad God. If you don't know who I'm talking about, folks, I'm talking about Islam. They make that argument that Allah doesn't need help. Can I tell you something? They're confused. This is not about a God that needs help. This is about a being that is a special being. He is this. This is His definition. This is His definement. This is who He is. He is not just one big bad God. He is a multifaceted God. He is a special being. He is this. This is who God is. As God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. It's not that God needs help. This is God. Because guess what? You cannot separate out God the Son. You cannot separate out God the Holy Spirit. You cannot separate out God the Father. They are God. Just for instance, I have an arm. Hello, arm. Can I ask you something? Can you separate my arm from me? You can. We met a guy. She's in children's church. My poor Willa. We met a guy at the trailer park yesterday. She was kind of shocked. I could see it in her face. But he had an amputated arm. And he showed it to her. And she was kind of bothered by that. She had never seen anything like that before. But you know, I can be separated. But you know what? I won't be quite the same, will I? So if you could separate Jesus from God, or if you could separate the Holy, it wouldn't be quite the same, would it? You understand that they're one. That is the definition of God. It's not that God needs help. It's not that God needs an aid or an assistant. Because Jesus is not an assistant to God. The Holy Spirit is not an assistant to God. God the Father is not an assistant to either parts of the other. Or he's not asking for them to help him. They are him. That's our God. You cannot separate them. That's why, even though the egg is probably the best example we have of a triune God, it's still faulty, because you can separate the shell from the white from the yolk. But you cannot separate God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. They are one. We need to know why we believe what we believe about our God in order to stay in the old paths. Because here's what happens. If you're not founded in what you believe about God, if you're not founded and sure of what you believe about God, you'll be drawn off the old paths onto a different path. You'll be deceived by the devil. You'll follow down a path. And listen, the Bible tells us that in the last days, they'll be preaching other Jesuses. They'll be preaching other salvations. They'll be preaching other things. That, hey, folks, listen to me. There's a group of people right next door to us that are preaching another Holy Ghost. And I'm not being critical or vindictive or anything. It's not the Holy Ghost in the Bible. It's a different one. And it ain't holy. I'm just telling you, folks, we've got to be careful. We've got to know what the old paths are. We got to look to the scriptures to see who and what God is. Over in 1 John chapter 5 in verse 7, the Bible tells us, "For there are three that bear record in heaven: the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost." And it says, "And these three are one." Okay? That is not a concept our finite, rational human minds can really understand. You know what? That's okay. Because guess what? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It's okay. It's okay. Just as much as we're told in Genesis chapter 1, we were made in the image of God. Man is a trichotomy. So just look at yourself. Okay? We are flesh. Ow. Okay? That hurts. Okay? We're flesh. But we also have a never-dying soul. And when this flesh expires, my never-dying soul moves on. We also have a spirit that needs to be regenerated. You understand? We're three parts. You know, we have God the Father. We have God the Son. God, we are created in His image. Right? So you understand that this is who and what we are. So we've got to understand that we serve a triune God. These are co-identical, co-eternal, co-equal, having the same attributes, perfections, etc. That's our God. It's just a definition of who He is. We don't have to explain to other people that it's not what it is, or this or that, or it's not that God needs help. But it helps to be able to explain. It helps to be able to know and to give an answer. Hey, are you just going to let Him trod down the name of your God? Let me ask you a question. There was a man in the Bible that was known to be a man after God's own heart. David was his name. It bothered him that there was this big old giant out there in the field mocking his God, making fun of his God. And the host of Israel and the king himself were not willing to do anything about it. But this youth came up, bringing supplies to his brothers from their father. And he said, hey, is there not a cause? Can I tell you something? David knew his God. David knew the protection of his God. David knew the faithfulness of his God. David had a relationship with his God. And he said, I'm not standing for this. I'm going to go out and meet that giant and shut him up. Are you willing to walk the old paths and shut up the giants of this world that are out to mock your God? Can I tell you something? If you don't know your God, you're not going to. If you don't know about your God, you're not going to. Because you won't know what to say. You see, David didn't say anything. Oh, yes, he said a lot. He said, my God hath delivered thee into my hands. Then he picked up that big old sword that probably weighed more than he did. Whoop! David never took credit for that. He gave the credit to God. It was God's victory. He was a man after God's own heart. Listen, folks, we need to know about our God. We need to be able to walk down the path of these old paths, and we need to be able to defend our God. Do you know God? In Deuteronomy chapter 6, these are the commandments, the statutes, the judgments, which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that ye might do them in the land whither ye go to possess it, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God to keep all His statutes and His commandments, which I command thee, thou and thy son, and thy son's son, all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged. Hear, therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, that ye may increase mightily, as the Lord thy God of thy fathers hath promised thee, in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be frontless between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the host of thy house, a post of thy house, and on thy gates. And it shall be, when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give to thee a great and goodly cities, which thou buildest not, and houses full of all good things, which thou fillest not, and wells digged, which thou diggest not, and vineyards and olive trees, which thou plantest not. When thou shalt have eaten and be full, then beware lest thou forget the Lord, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt and from the house of bondage. Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God and serve Him, and shalt swear by His name. You understand, folks, we serve a one God. So these critics out there that are criticizing and mocking and saying, well, Our God doesn't need a Jesus. Our God doesn't need a Holy Spirit. See, they are confused. They're trying to separate something that cannot be separated. They're not separate. They're one. Our Bible tells us that an us and an our can be plural. Can I say something here? This lovely young lady over here is not a separate entity. We're one. The Bible says when a husband or when a man and a woman become one flesh. You see, there's a reaction that I have to control. If you come up and do this, I'm probably going to do this. Now, I shouldn't do that. I probably shouldn't. But it's going to be action. But here's what's going to happen to you. I promise you this. If you put a hand on that thing over there, you're going to get it. And you might get it 7 times. They're hollow points. Okay? I'll save one for somebody else that wants to come around. But don't mess with her. And every man in here better say amen, because your woman's sitting next to you. You say, man, brother, Combs, you're not supposed to be. You're a pastor. Yeah, but I'm a man too. One flesh. It's not that hard to understand. And guess what? Those of you that have been through a divorce, or maybe know of people that have been, those two pieces, if they're ripped apart, are not the same. They're never the same. Oh, sure, time heals. If you try to put plywood, you put plywood together, try to tear it apart. It'll never be the same piece of wood. All splintered, tore up, disfigured, etc. That's what happens. You cannot separate God. He's one God. In Matthew 28, Jesus, this is funny, don't you love this? Jesus said this. He came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. You say, how can he do that? How can he say that? Because he knows that they're three in one. He knows there's no separating him from his Father. He knows there's no separating him from the Holy Spirit. He knows that that's how they are. Listen to what he says. He says, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever commanded you. And lo, I am with you always. Ah, Pastor, Jesus is a liar. He's at the right hand of God the Father. He said he would never leave them. He said he'd always be with them. He didn't keep his promise. He left. They stood there on the mountain and they saw him go up into the heavens on a cloud. He forsook them. No. No, he did not. He kept his promise by sending that third part to be with them. See, that's not the same thing. It is the same thing if they can't be separated. And they can't be separated. We've got to really wrap our heads around what this God of ours is if we're going to walk on the old paths. Us old-timey, Bible-preaching, Bible-teaching Baptists, I am not confused about this. You see, this is really hard to really grasp. No, it's not hard to grasp. Just believe it. Okay, I've had to look at many students that look at me and say, plane geometry is hard. And I look at them and say, it's not hard. Just believe it. I don't understand the theorems, the axioms. I don't know proofs. How do you get from this to this to this? Just believe it. But it doesn't make sense. It doesn't have to make sense. It is real. Come on, teachers. We just need to believe. This is our God. You see, I'm tired of the world and other religions trying to define our God. We have the definition of our God. Three in one. One Lord. One God. Us and our are singular. You say, whoa. Hey, listen. English breaks all the other rules. Why can't it break this one? Oh, it can't break. You can't have a singular and a plural. In God, we can. Why do we as people, why do we as human beings try to bind God with our things? People try to bind God within the realms of time. God cannot be bound by his creation, folks. He dwells outside of creation. God dwells outside of time. Past, present, and future do not pertain to God. He is beginning, ending. He is not bound by any of that. So God is to be understood by God's terms, not man's terms. It's by faith that we believe this old path of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. We believe that the Lord Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God, became man without ceasing to be God. Coexisting. See, that is wild. Yes, it's wild. It's happened once and will never happen again. See, how do you know? Because God said so. That's how I know. You say, well, there's not much evidence of that. There's not much proof in that. Doesn't have to be. It's faith. It's faith. Can I tell you something? Without a perfect sacrifice, we have no salvation. So guess what? It has to be true. It has to be true. If Jesus Christ was not God and man at the same time, you and I have no salvation. When it says in the Bible that God will provide himself a lamb, that's what it means. God provided himself in the form of Jesus Christ, the God-man. Coexistent. God and man at the same time. You see, how did all that take place? Well, Mary was overcome by the Holy Spirit of God. Jesus Christ had no earthly father. You say, how is that possible? I don't know. And I don't care. I just know it is. Why? Because like Paul, I can cheerfully look at you and say, I believe God. I just believe it. It's by faith. See, mind, that's not much to it. Oh, it's more than what you've got. It's more than what any religion's got. That's why when I have an opportunity to debate about people with creation and evolution, I do know a lot about the subject. And to be fair, in man's terms, creation is a theory and evolution is a theory. To be fair, okay, now I'm not turning from Christianity, I'm not turning from what the Bible says. But to be fair, you cannot recreate creation in a laboratory, and you cannot recreate evolution in a laboratory. Therefore, scientifically speaking, that makes them both theories. Okay, I can be fair with that. But you know what I do tell people? I do tell people that it takes less faith to believe in a creator God than it does to believe in a primordial ooze that came about by some big bang. It takes less faith to believe in a triune God than it does to believe in some of these things out there in religion. And you know what? If you lack faith, ask God and he'll give it to you. God says, hey, I want you to come back to the old paths. If you can't find them, stand in the way and ask me and I'll show you where they are. I have scripture after scripture after scripture here to talk about the the God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit. I don't have time to go through them all because I'm already 6 minutes past my time. Now, we believe that the Lord Jesus Christ accomplished our redemption through his death on the cross as a representative, vicarious, substitutionary sacrifice, and that our justification is made sure by his literal, physical resurrection from the dead. We believe that the Lord Jesus Christ ascended into heaven and is now exalted at the right hand of God, where as our high priest, he fulfills the ministry of representative, intercessor, and advocate. And I'm so glad that my lawyer's firm name is Jesus Christ the Righteous. That's the best one I could ever think of. You say, how is all that possible? I can't just can't wrap my head around it. You don't have to. Trust the scriptures. It's the old paths. It's what we know about God. Let this define God, not this. If you let this define God, you're going to come up with the wrong definition. If you let this define God, you're going to come out with the right definition. Because it's what God has given us. We believe that the Lord Jesus Christ ascended into heaven and is now exalted at the right hand of God. He's our advocate. That's where he is. And guess what? He's coming soon. He's going to come in two ways. First, he's going to come in the air, not setting foot on this earth, calling out the believers, calling out his bride, the church. Those that have passed on already and those of us that are alive and remain. It's called the rapture, folks. Now, that word is not found in our Bibles, but that is the term used. And then guess what? After the tribulation period? Because who would want their bride to go through the tribulation? Right? Certainly not Jesus. Anyways, that's another doctrine we can discuss later. What's going to happen is this great battle. And the majestic, wonderful, almighty, powerful Lamb of God is going to get on that white horse, that name above all names, sword that proceeds out of his mouth, come down through that valley of Megiddo. We're going to have a massacre. Blood bridle deep on the horse. He's going to walk through. Rule and reign for 1,000 years. And his saints with him. You know what? I'd encourage each one of you to take horseback riding lessons. Because we're going to be doing it. Now, I've been riding horse since I was 5 years old, so I don't need any more practice. I'm good. But let me tell you something. That's what the book tells us. That's our Savior, Jesus Christ. And he is God. Cannot be separated from his Father. Cannot be separated from the Holy Spirit. That's who it is. It is God collectively. This is an old path that we're to follow. Don't get off the path. Don't buy somebody else's theory. Don't go down one of these other paths that lead to some nonsense or something. Listen, I'm telling you, there are Christians departing the faith left and right today. They're following after this trail. Following after this trail. And this religion. Oh, that sounds good. But it's not good. It's not the old paths. Stick to the book. We believe that the Holy Spirit is the one who convicts the world of sin, righteousness, and of judgment. That he's the supernatural agent of regeneration and indwelling and sealing us to the day of redemption. In John 16, Jesus said, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. The truth is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin because they believe not on me. Of righteousness because I go to my Father and ye see me no more. Of judgment because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I, that he shall take of mine, and shall show it unto you. You know, that's how I know that what's happening at other churches is not the Holy Spirit. Because at those places, you know what's uplifted when they speak in tongues, when they so-called heal people? And do you know who's not lifted up? Jesus. You know who is magnified? They magnify the Holy Spirit and they magnify themselves. That's what they do. Oh, I've watched it on TV. If you ever want comic relief, just go watch some of the religious channels out there. You got these preachers running around. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost today. I feel him. He's in us. He's in. Oh, there's someone out here that needs to be healed. There's someone out here that needs. Oh, they need a word from God. And oh, they need this. Oh, you come on up here. Oh, be healed in Jesus' name. And they're all dancing around. All they're looking for is attention. All they're looking for is, look at me. It's all manufactured, people. Jesus said the Holy Spirit's not going to draw attention to himself. He's not going to draw attention to the person that he's using. He's not going to draw attention to anything but to Jesus Christ. You know what? I don't want you to see a great preacher. I want you to see a great Jesus. I want you to see a great Savior. I don't want you to see a great church here at Lighthouse Baptist Church. The bride wants you to see her great husband. Jesus Christ is to be magnified. Jesus Christ is to be glorified. He's the only one that deserves glory and honor and praise. Not me, not you, not the Holy Spirit. None of it. That's the work of the Holy Spirit of God. We believe that the Holy Spirit of God is the divine teacher who assists us in understanding and appropriating the scriptures. That is a privilege and a duty of all believers to be filled with the Spirit of God. Now, those of us that are born again, we have the Spirit, but not all of us are filled with the Spirit. That's our shortcoming. That's because we have not relinquished our vessel to Him. Wouldn't it be a sad state if my coffee cup refused to be filled with coffee? I'd be very unhappy. Because you know what I want my coffee cup to be filled with? Because it's my cup, and I want my coffee in that cup. You know what? We're God's cup. And he doesn't want flesh in his cup. He wants Holy Spirit in his cup. Don't be the cup that refuses what the master wants in his cup. You know what I would, if I had a cup like that, you know what I would do with it? Oh, you know what I would do with it. Goodbye, cup. I want a cup that's going to be filled with what I want it to be. God does something similar with us, doesn't he? Do we believe that God is sovereign? That he bestows spiritual gifts to every believer? God uniquely uses pastors, evangelists, teachers to equip believers in the assembly in order that we might do the work of the ministry. You understand that our God is one God. It's an old path. Are you going to stay on the old path of who and what God is? Or are you going to divert to these other paths that other religions and other churches are going down? We need to stay on the old paths. We have one God. He is God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. These three are one. We need to know what we know about our God. We need to believe what we believe about our God. We need to stand our ground and stay on the old paths that our God is one God. And we're to teach it to our children, to our children's children, and to our children. We need to pass it down. And guess what? I can't get off the old path and try to pass down the old paths from another path. I need to stay on the old path. And now, listen to me. I promise you, there is not anybody in this world that's ever going to convince me otherwise. You know why? Because I'm right here on this path. And I'm not moving. I'm not changing. It's what we need to teach and preach. It's what we need to live. It's what we need to stand for. The Holy Scriptures, the old King James Bible, and our God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, existing eternally, co-eternal, co-identical, co-equal, our God. Plural, but singular. That's an old path.